Matthew, the 11th chapter. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. So Jesus offers this invitation and this promise to come to him, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and he will give you rest. I wonder, as we hear that promise, how many of us here today feel pretty weary by something? Or how many of us here feel quite burdened, like we're carrying some kind of burden? We are well aware of the burdens that we or loved ones carry that relate to health or to grief. There are some who are wearied by an addiction that they wrestle with for a long, long time, or an addiction with which a family member has been experiencing, and they're longing for recovery, but it just seems to take a long time to come. Over the past several months, several people have named that they are wearied by the divisiveness in our country, the inability we have to talk with one another and be in relationship with each other when we disagree. And then there's the weariness of the pace of life. For some of you, it might be sheer busyness, so many responsibilities, or this constant need to accomplish something or just keep it all together. And yet for some of you, the opposite is true. You might not be burdened with too much to do, but you're burdened by a lack of purpose. Maybe too much time on your hands with too little to do that has meaning. This week, I want to invite each one of us to take a few moments at some point this week and reflect on what is it that most wearies you right now? What burdens are you carrying? As Jesus speaks these words of invitation, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, I will give you rest." He doesn't suddenly make that weariness and all those burdens disappear, but he offers us a different way to live in the midst of them. Today, we're starting a three-week series on Sabbath, so that is kind of the introduction to that series. But a three-week series on what it is to set aside a time of rest, time to just be and experience God. And before you shut down and say, "I can't do a whole day of rest, I have too much going on, or I just don't have the kind of bandwidth to sit in quiet for that long," I want to invite us to try to think about it differently. Our culture is one that does not encourage Sabbath, maybe true Sabbath. We encourage people to treat themselves, they deserve it, take a break. But is it really a Sabbath to the Lord? A lot of us have maybe lived decades without taking a true Sabbath day. So it might feel too overwhelming to take a whole day. So I want to invite us to think about starting small. Maybe that's our goal, a whole day, but start small and try to create Sabbath moments each day. Moments each day, try to find a rhythm of those moments where we set aside time to really be aware of Jesus, to just be in the presence of God and know who we are as people of God. So in our gospel reading today, Jesus talks about this yoke. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble of heart." At our children's time, we talked about this yoke, and the yoke is meant to be this metaphor. One person wrote that the yoke is about what controls people as they make their way in life. It's about what is it that controls us as we make our way in life. It's what governs our actions, shapes our day-to-day lives. So we all are going to be yoked to something, yoked to our busyness, our responsibilities, or our worries. What are we yoked to that's really shaping our day-to-day lives? And I think if we're really honest with ourselves, at times a lot of what shapes our day-to-day lives has very little to do with our relationship with Jesus. More often, what might shape our day-to-day lives has more to do with the things we named earlier, the things that weary us or burden us. I recently started a book that Pastor Eric shared with me. I can't recommend it yet because I just started it, but it's called The Deeply Formed Life. And in it, he talks talks about how in our culture there's this tendency to be shallowly formed rather than deeply formed. I think about that as I flip on and watch the next Netflix show or pick up my phone mindlessly and look at it yet again because I can't find something else that is meaning to do. Am I being shallowly formed in my day or deeply formed by God? So this author writes, our lives can easily take us to the brink of burnout. The pace we live at is often destructive. The lack of margin is debilitating. And I want to pause there a moment and talk about this margin. You think about a book that you read. Not every single space on the page is filled. There are margins. And those margins make it easier to read the page. If every single part of the page was filled, it would be hard to read. Hard to follow. The same is true with our lives. If we fill up every single moment of space with something to do or something we need to accomplish or with noise, we end up with no margin to help us experience God. And I'm going to say for those of you who aren't super busy, life can still lack margin. Maybe your page or your life isn't filled with too much to do, but it can be filled with a lot of noise. Think about those phones that we keep at our sides at all times. A few years ago, one study said Americans pick up their phones an average of 80 times a day just when they're on vacation. 80 times a day, that's a lot. Or we flip on the TV just for something to do. So even if we're not super busy, we might end up with very little margin to just be aware of God and who we are as God's own. Keep getting bombarded from the time we get up in the morning until we go to sleep at night. We keep getting bombarded with so many messages and so much noise or so many posts that are less than nourishing for our souls. And if we go back to the deeply formed life, the author goes on to write, in all of this, the problem before us is not just the frantic pace we live at, but what gets pushed out of our lives as a result. And what gets pushed out is life with God. So in my previous congregation, I remember one young man telling me that he believed that the Sabbath command was the most broken commandment of them all. That Sabbath command that we heard in Deuteronomy. We ignore it. We think it's not so important. And yet if you read the commandments, if you go back to Deuteronomy 5 and read through them, that Sabbath commandment is one of the ones that has the most instruction, the most detail to it. Martin Luther believed that the commandments were written in order of importance, with the first one being most important and the tenth being least important. And if that's the case, Sabbath is right up there at the top ahead of do not murder and do not steal. Why? Because when we keep Sabbath, when we rest, and when we give others a chance to rest, we're given the space to remember who we are, that our worth and the worth of every other person on this planet doesn't come from what we accomplish or don't accomplish. It doesn't come from the political party we're a part of, but it's found in God alone. As I shared before, when we talked about Sabbath, that command was given to a people who had been enslaved. Pastor Carol Root, who writes about the Sabbath, she notes that the Israelites, who had been stuck in the system of slavery, they had had their worth determined based on what they could produce. And they'd been in that situation for 400 years. So imagine how deeply ingrained that was in that culture, in those people. So God frees them, and they now have to learn, how do you live as a freed people? How do you live as a people who belong to God? And so Pastor Rube describes God's hope for Sabbath this way, that one day in seven, everyone rests. All distinctions that define your value and measure your worth disappear. Employed, unemployed, old, young, rich, poor, slave, free, citizen, foreigner. If we were all to practice Sabbath on that particular day, you are all simply and completely just human beings. All beloved children of God. And she says, this is the hardest lesson to absorb. And so God tells us we need to do it regularly. That we have to regularly step out of the mindset and activity of the world around us. The measuring, comparing, competing, striving, producing, and consuming. traffic, we have to regularly stop doing and practice just being. Thought about that, I was reminded that in January of this upcoming year, on our Wednesday night youth ministry, we're hoping to do a series that's called How to Be a Quitter. And I love that title, How to Be a Quitter. And it's about how to quit complaining or quit comparing yourself to others, and then some other things as well. But I think that could be a great way of talking about Sabbath, too. It's about quitting, about saying no to some things in our lives, so we can say yes to experiencing Jesus. Whether we do that on a whole day, or we start out trying to find Sabbath moments where we really seek to turn everything off and just experience Jesus. The fall sports that have started up this week, and the one that I'm most familiar with the fall sports at school, the one I'm most familiar with is cross country, because my boys run that. And many of these cross country runners run 6 days a week. They run 6 days, they train very hard, but they are told by their coach that they need to take a day of rest. And usually it's on Sunday. They have to take a day where they are not training, not running, so they can give their bodies a chance to recover, so they can keep going strong the next week. And I wonder if we could learn something from those athletes, that with all the responsibilities or the worries or the pressures that we feel on us, to just set aside a time once a week, do that, it would give us some space to maybe recover so we can keep going strong the next week. So this week I wonder, what is it we each need to say no to? What's something you need to say no to so you can say yes to being in the presence of God? Maybe it's taking a technology Sabbath, powering down or putting your phone on mute and not taking any calls or texts just for an hour. Maybe it's turning off the thinking about work when you're not at work, giving yourself permission to do that so you can be fully present with yourself and with the people around you. Maybe it's each day writing on the calendar just a few moments. Start with 5 minutes and try 10 minutes of Sabbath time. And you actually put that on the calendar so that when someone contacts you and say, hey, can we get together? Like, oh, I'm busy at that time. Let's do it a different time. So that the time with Jesus isn't the first thing that gets pushed off. So what Sabbath rhythms might we try out this week? Start small. What Sabbath rhythm will you try out this week to try to create space and rest with God? As we think about the different things that shape our lives, the yokes that we take on, what yoke will you take on? Jesus promises that he is gentle and humble in heart, and in him we will find rest for our souls, rest that we deeply and this world deeply need. And if he is the one we are yoked to, if it's Jesus who's shaping our lives, then how we live our faith will also be with humility and gentleness. While this way of Jesus doesn't remove all the burdens or the weariness we experience, it does remind us that we don't carry any of it alone. But we are given, we are yoked to a whole community of people who are meant to be there to help us and we're meant to help. And we are yoked to Jesus, who is our source